escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to Jay Bigley, who joins us every single Wednesday at 6:45 once the college football season rolls along. He's voting again in the AP Top 25, so we'll have a Top 25 voter here and determine who's going to be in the college football.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Playoff. I know Jay's excited about that. Again, and he takes it serious, which is really, really cool because you want people who take it serious, not people who don't, like I would. So congratulations to Jay for being a voter in that. One thing that he did say, and we'll jump into what Peter Schrager said here in just one second. I didn't realize this until Jay Binkley said it. And then when Jay Binkley said it, I went, whoa, the Chiefs won the division by 4 games last year. That's like winning it by 40 games in Major League Baseball. You know, you times everything by 10 because that's essentially what it is in baseball. This is a team that won the division by 4 games last year, right, Mac? And everybody is trying to say that they're going to lose the division this year. That's almost an insurmountable lead, a 4-game lead in the division. That's a huge lead to win that division by. And so when when people sit around and say that the Chiefs are going to go out there and they're going to lose this division and it's going to be this team that steps up and that team that steps up, there's still a lot of ground to make up in order for you to win that division, right? You've got to overcome the 4-game deficit that you had last year. The Chiefs just weren't better than everybody else last year in their division. They were vastly better than everybody else in their division last year. To win it by that wide of a margin, I don't know that that kind of gap is closed in this offseason. I don't know that any team right now in the NFL, or in the AFC West, I should say, has gotten 4 games better while the Chiefs have gotten 4 games worse.
That's, by the way, with giving the Broncos that last game.
Correct.
So you could call it 4.5 games if you want to, whatever it may be. But
right.
Yeah, there's no way that both those things have happened at the same time. The Chiefs, from all accounts, from our accounts, from national accounts, most of them, gotten better. They've improved. So have the Broncos and maybe the Chargers, definitely the Raiders, but improved. So the Raiders have improved from, what, 5 wins to 6 or 7 wins?
Right.
You know what I mean? The Chargers have improved slightly to 9 to 9.5. You know, what are the Broncos? Are they actually going to be relevant on offense yet again. We know what that
defense is. Who's their number two wide receiver in Denver?
Never heard of him.
Devon Vele, maybe?
I mean, I saw some some Denver folks yesterday like, okay, who's our number two wide receiver? We're worried about who number six is.
Yeah,
on our
exactly.
team, you know,
exactly.
The Denver Broncos, everybody's praising them, and they've got a young quarterback who I like. I'm a fan of Bo Nix, but who's he throwing the football to?
That's been one of my things, man. It's like they went and got Evan Ingram, I think, and that's supposed to be like this huge addition, which is fine.
But I mean, that's he was like kind of semi-retired, you know, in Jacksonville. Most people are because it's old people, right? They're all looking for that fountain of youth down there. But I Evan, like, if you're putting all your eggs into the basket of we're going to be better on offense because Evan Ingram is here, this isn't 2019 or 2021 or whatever it was when Evan Ingram was really good for the Giants. You know, this is a couple of years, I would think, past his prime. And so that's why I ask, who's Bo Nix throwing the football to this year?
Played 9 games last year, 365 yards. 2 years ago was his awesome year, 960 yards and 4 touchdowns. So that was a good year, almost 1,000 yards 2 years ago. So you hope he can find some of that. But again, you're right. So you have
But that's
him,
2 years older
that's
now.
That's 2 years older now. Let's see. He's 31.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's Cortland Sutton, who's also 31, 32. And
right.
He's good. He's never been great. And, past that, it's Vele. It's Mims. They have 4 running backs we know nothing about. One of them hopefully is good. Jadon Blue, R.J. Harvey, McLaughlin. It's like all these guys that it's just.
Never heard of him.
So, you know, hopefully one of them goes off for him. But, for me, Bo Nix is a guy who needs other people to help him lift this offense up. He's not going to do
it
himself.
He's a win with, not win because of.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. He needs stuff in front of him to throw to. And Sean Payton, a great schemer, but he's not even the best schemer and best offensive mind in the division. So your strength isn't as good as our strength.
That's what I'm saying. So 4 games, who's going to overcome that? Who's going to be 4 games better than the Chiefs this year? And are the Chiefs going to be 4 games worse than where they were last season? And I don't think that's going to be the case. And neither does Peter Schrager, who had some great stuff to say about this organization that should have everybody kind of hyped up for the start of training camp.
They lose the Super Bowl, and it's like, you know, walking out of that stadium the way it went, like Brett Veach is beside himself, Mahomes is beside himself, Chris Jones is devastated. They have like Tuesday morning, Mahomes is in the gym, and Mahomes is working out. Remember, the Super Bowl ends Sunday night at like 1 a.m., and they've got their cameras here for this kingdom, this whole thing, which I think is going to be awesome, and Mahomes is working out that Tuesday morning. And this is the same stuff that you might say, oh, whatever, every player is. This is Michael Jordan last dance stuff. This is when we lose to the Pistons, we get in the gym that morning and we encourage Scottie Pippen to get and follow the lead. We encourage Horace Grant. I just think they are so dialed in, and they had that picture of him at the party with Brittany and he's got a little dad bod and everyone had their fun with that. Like, he reads and hears everything. Mahomes is a killer. I think this is actually the last thing you want to do is start questioning Mahomes' dedication or his fitness and what they have, because truth be told, they got better on the offensive line. They're going to have healthy wide receivers. They added some talent on the defensive side. Like, I don't know. Kansas City, you start questioning them and you start considering how they lost that Super Bowl and how embarrassed they were. I wouldn't be shocked if they come out guns blazing to start the season.
Well, I mean, that's what we've been saying since that Super Bowl ended last year, that this team was going to come out with a sense of revenge, and they're going to come out there and they want to show the world that they are still the best team in the NFL. And I think right now, it is going to happen. I think there is so much revenge on their minds and so much, I want to prove everybody wrong, that they're going to go out there and they're going to take care of business. And you heard Peter Schrager talk about the emotional side of that locker room. We were in that locker room when that game ended. And I had the opportunity to talk to some people kind of off to the side and whatnot. I saw that emotion. I saw that emotion that he's talking about. And I've had the opportunity to be in winning locker rooms. I've had the opportunity to be in losing locker rooms, right? In 2014, after the World Series, opportunity to be in that locker room. Guys were down. Guys were upset, obviously. We didn't feel as upset as they did that day. And then they came back in 15 and won it all. I've never been part of a locker room that was that emotional after a loss. You know, usually like in a college basketball setting, you see it in Kansas over the years. We've been around it. Guys are crying and whatnot because they know they're done and they're on to whatever was next in their lives. You know, their college career is over. That's why you see that kind of emotional stuff in the NCAA tournament. I don't know that I've ever experienced a professional locker room that was that emotional and that upset about the way that that game ended and the way that that season ended. Because I think when that game was over, it was an emotional drain for the entire year of fighting for this three-peat and fighting for this three-peat and fighting for this three-peat. And then everybody's bodies just gave out at the end. And then everybody was just so emotional. They were emotionally spent. It's human nature to be emotionally spent after a game like that and after a season like that. And that emotion right now is what's feeding this ball club to go out there and to prove everybody wrong. They remember what it was like. I remember what it was like. I was hugging grown men that were in tears, consoling them outside of that locker room. I'm not going to say who because it's nobody's business. But when you are a grown man hugging another grown man and they're crying on your shoulder because of the way that that game went down, that's how you know how devastated they were and how bought in they were and how much they wanted that and how much that is going to fuel this season. Guys, I've been telling you this since February. I can't wait for this season to get started. I can't wait to watch this team go out there, scorched earth, and show everybody in the NFL, hey, we're back. And now you've got to deal with us. And now you've got to deal with us in a revenge mode. Now you've got to deal with us in Travis's last season. Now you've got to deal with us when Rashee Rice is going to make a name for himself. And Xavier Worthy is going to make a name for himself. And Trent McDuffie and George just got paid. And all these guys now have the same goal in mind. And that's to get back to that Super Bowl and win it again. But also to destroy everybody in their path. And that is the game plan this year. And that's what's going to happen for this organization. I think it's going to be so much fun, and I can't wait. Like I don't know that I've been this excited for the start of a season in a very long time.
I can see it.
Like going into last year, I was excited, but I was more nervous going into last season because of how bad I wanted to get to that Super Bowl and how bad I wanted to go for that three-peat. This year, I'm excited to go watch this team play. And I don't think that I'm going to have as much nervous energy this year as I did last year. I don't think I'm going to watch every single play like it's the last play of the season like I did last year. And that's the way that the team's going to approach it as well. Not every play is the last play. Not every play has to be perfect. Not every moment has to be the best. You need to go out there. You need to have fun. And you need to destroy everybody. And that's what is going to happen this year with this team. Don't doubt this team. I promise you, do not doubt this team. They're coming for you. And they're coming for your neighborhood. They're coming for that neighborhood. They're coming for this neighborhood. And they want to leave a mark on this game that shows you, yeah, we lost the Super Bowl, but we're still the best team in the NFL.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
Coming up, we'll talk to Nate Taylor. He is with ESPN now. He's our Chiefs insider. We talk to Nate next.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
It is a Wednesday, and that means we have our weekly poll on X, formerly Twitter, about what's going on in the world of sports. We'll also talk to Nate Taylor of ESPN and our Chiefs insider coming up in a couple of moments here on 96.5 The Fan. But our poll question is up, and we want you to vote on the Jay's Southland Tow Service poll on our Twitter page. What do we got going on over there, Mac?
Yeah, so the poll this week, or this Wednesday, should the Royals pick up the option for Salvador Perez? A resounding yes right now, about 100 votes in, 87% yes, just under 13% for no.
Yeah, that's so crazy. 87% of fans want Salvador Perez's option
they
picked
should.
Up. Yeah, absolutely they should. And there's no reason not to pick up Salvador Perez's team option, right? You pick up that option and you secure him for at least another season to make sure that he finishes his career, hopefully, you know, as a member of the Kansas City Royals. He didn't hit a home run last night, so he's still 10 shy of 300, still, what, 27 shy of George Brett's all-time record for the most home runs in a Royals uniform. So, yeah, we definitely want to see Salvador Perez's option picked up. So we'll talk to Nate Taylor. We'll continue to keep you updated on everything that's going on with that poll. We'll continue to keep you updated on the ESPN situation involving the NFL. According to the New York Times, they're inside the 5-yard line about basically acquiring NFL Network, NFL Red Zone, 7 more games in addition to the ones that they already have that will air exclusively on NFL Network. And ESPN is getting ready to launch their direct-to-consumer pricing, which is $30 a month, and it will include, obviously, all of that stuff. So ESPN and the NFL are getting ready to have some sort of mega deal that is going to be announced, and that's good for, I guess, the fans, because we are able to spend more money on players and keep our guys around that we love. But it's also probably going to be more costly for a lot of people to go out there and to watch these games that do take place in the NFL. They are making it a little bit more difficult each year to go out there and find a way to get these games to the fans. And I know fans are getting to that level of, I'm done with the streaming, I'm done paying for this, I'm done paying for that. They keep nickel and diming all of us when it comes to the NFL. I hope they don't push it too far where they go away from what really made them the league that it is today, and that's having their games on over-the-air TV for free. So hopefully the NFL doesn't, you know, ultimately, you know, kill the golden goose, as they like to say, but hopefully the NFL realizes that their bread and butter is still on that free over-the-air TV, and they don't put everything behind a paywall, you know?
It would be nice if it was a little bit less expensive, but I get it. People are going to pay it, so you can't really blame them.
I mean, they obviously have studied the price points on all of this kind of stuff and figured out where people would go and what people would spend, you know, when it comes to investing into the NFL. Look, I'm a sucker for all that. I've got all these apps and whatnot, always have, and, you know, I've always kind of spent probably more than I should on TV and stuff, but I like the NFL. I want my games, you know, and so I continue to do what I need to do to make sure that I am going to be someone who gets the opportunity to watch the games that I want to watch when I want to watch them. Another thing interesting happened yesterday, and we'll get into this more in one word, is that Tyrann Mathieu announced his retirement yesterday. You know, Tyrann Mathieu is an unbelievable football player, was, I guess you could say now, an unbelievable football player, as he announced his retirement. And I always said that Tyrann Mathieu was the perfect addition at the perfect time for the Kansas City Chiefs. We were coming off that situation where the team lost in bad fashion in overtime to the New England Patriots. We're coming off that season where the defense couldn't stop anybody, right? I mean, it was like, you know, winning games 55-54. Go back to that Rams game on Monday Night Football. There was zero defense being played. And that was basically a picture of everything that occurred during the course of the season for the Chiefs that year, right? They'd have to win every game by a last second touchdown, or they have to outscore their opponent all the time. And it just became one of those things where they weren't interested in doing it anymore, right? And we didn't know what was going on with Eric Berry. Every week he thought he would play, and then he wouldn't play. Day to day, constantly day to day. So that was the last year of Eric Berry. And so when that season ended, we all know what happened. They, you know, got rid of everybody on the defensive side. They fired Bob Sutton. They brought in Steve Spagnuolo. But more importantly, they brought in Tyrann Mathieu. And he became immediately the leader of that defense. And when Tyrann Mathieu came here to Kansas City, what I thought was really one of the things, I should say, that was really special about Tyron here in Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken, I think he still lives here in Kansas City. The situation that he came into was not good, right? We know how bad that defense was. When Tyron came into Kansas City, he acted like he was part of that defense from the prior year and would channel it all the time. We have to be better than we were last year. We have to do things better than we did last year. And I'm like, this guy's talking like he was part of it. He accepted ownership right away into what needed to be done here in Kansas City to turn it around. And he was a player. Look, he burned hot. There's no question about that, right? Like, he burned hot. But for those 3 or 4 years that he was here in Kansas City, he was a big-time playmaker for this team and was the perfect person at the perfect time to be brought into Kansas City, because he changed the attitude of that defense. He changed the way that people were thinking about that defense around the National Football League. He went from the Chiefs having a defense that everybody could just push around to a defense that pushed back and slapped you in the face, right? They had no time for your nonsense. And Frank Clark was a big part of that as well. Those two guys together were the perfect complement here for that first era of this Patrick Mahomes era that we saw with that new defense. Frank Clark was fired up all the time. Tyrann Mathieu was fired up all the time. And their infectious attitudes and the way that they played trickled down to everybody else on that defense. And I think trickled down to the fans as well. We felt better about our defense when Tyrann Mathieu was out there. We felt great watching Ty go out there and play. And that's how good a football player he was. but he was an even better person off the field. And that's, you know, from my experience with Tyrann Mathieu. And when he was here, I was part of the board for the Tyrann Mathieu Foundation, and we put on a great event, you know, a celebrity waiter event in I guess it was like November of 2019. It was really like the last event before the pandemic hit, right? Where everybody was out, everybody was having a good time. The entire team showed up. Mahomes was there. Everybody was there for this, you know, celebrity waiter event that Tyrann Mathieu put on. And you know, he worked tirelessly to make a difference in this community. And it wasn't just stuff like that. I remember one time having the opportunity to be with Tyrann. I think it was like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And we were at some church in the east side of Kansas City, you know, and he was feeding people, man. And he was bringing them meals and he was bringing them gifts. And then I had the opportunity to go to his Christmas, you know, event one year. And he was bringing kids and families in, and we kind of vetted the families ahead of time of what they needed and gave them stuff that they needed. And some of the stuff that people needed, you see and you went, oh, my God, I take that for granted. Like laundry detergent, soap, things that are basic needs that people were not able to afford. And Tyrann Mathieu was writing checks and taking care of people for that. And that's the impact that I had with Tyrann Mathieu. And what I'll remember most about Tyrann Mathieu is seeing him take his ability to help and actually go out there and do it and really go out there and make a huge difference in the community. And that's something that he's done everywhere that he's been. He's been nothing but a great human being. And it was so awesome to have him here, part of this organization, and to be part of this team, because he was the guy, in my opinion, who was the catalyst for flipping that defense 100%. Around.
And for flipping this team around. I mean, it was just the defense, but they hadn't won until he joined, and he completely changed the culture, the attitude of this team. He gave them that swagger. I know Frank Clark was a part of that too, but Tyrann Mathieu, man, the way he talked and then backed it up, I loved him just being another, being a fellow like small dude, seeing a small guy not care, going up against those big guys, getting in the thick of it. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He'll be in the College Football Hall of Fame. I think he'll be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well in Canton. He's a three-time All-Pro. He led our team on defense. Multiple, I think 13 interceptions in about 50 games here as a Chief, three-time Pro Bowler. He's a Hall of Famer, and what he did to this Chiefs defense cannot be undersold or talked about enough. I mean, he like you said, he was the catalyst. He was the reason that this defense was able to go from legitimately 31 or 32 in the league to top 10 in one season.
And he was a big reason for that. But you also look at the evolution of the safety position, Mac. I mean, you go from, let's just start with Eric Berry to Tyrann Mathieu to Justin Reed to now Jaden Hicks, right?
Awesome.
Those are big shoes for Hicks to fill.
Seriously, man.
I mean, we're not
Daniel
just talking.
Sorensen.
And Daniel Sorensen was a, look, saved the Browns game for you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and the Texans.
And the Texans game.
Like, yes.
Say what you want about Daniel Sorensen.
Yes.
Big reason why we won the Super Bowl, got to the Super Bowl. Daniel Sorensen was a big part of that,
100%.
Right? 100%. You know, and so, but I'm just mean like the lineage of that safety position. I mean, you go back to like Daron Cherry and guys like that too. I mean, the safety position, Lloyd Burris, like that position has always been pretty big here in Kansas City. And you go from Eric Berry, Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Reed, Jaden Hicks.
Jeez.
Like Hicks has got he's got big shoes to
really
fill.
Excited
right?
about him,
and it'll be good to see, you know, what he can get done, and if he can live up to that kind of lineage that's been here. And so I think he can. I mean, they drafted him for a reason. They replaced Justin Reed, you know, with him for a reason. They believe that he could be the guy that can go out there and get it done. And so I think it's kind of cool to watch the progression of that. But I'll never forget those moments with Tyrann. And they weren't that long ago, guys. I mean, like, we're talking about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Or so, I guess, 2019, 19 season. He was so 6 years
ago. Super Bowl in 2020. So yeah.
So six years ago, Tyrann Mathieu was brought in. And now he's already retiring. I mean, it happens in a blink of an eye. And he played 12 years, you know, in the NFL. And then all of a sudden he's like, dude, I'm done. I'm out. And that was it. And he walked away. And I think a lot of people in New Orleans were probably surprised about Tyrann Mathieu, you know, walking away yesterday, because that's what a lot of them said, that they were kind of surprised with Tyrann Mathieu walking away yesterday. But after a 12-year career, he's earned the retirement. Godspeed, my man. Keep doing you. Keep doing great things, whether it's in New Orleans, whether it's in Houston, whether it's in Arizona, whether it's here in Kansas City. Keep doing all those awesome things, and you will always be remembered as having a huge impact here on Kansas City.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, Mac. One word.
One word, Bobby, on a hump day. Here we go. We'll start with one word on the Royals last night.
Loss. There's really not much
zero.
To say. Yeah, zero. I was going to use that as well. No runs scored yesterday. But I will say this. I thought it was fun watching Rich Hill pitch yesterday. I don't know what you thought about that. Dude's twice your age, right?
He's almost your age.
Yeah. I was watching like my contemporary out there.
Yes, legitimately. Yes. That was fun.
He was emotional, which was good.
Yep.
I like that. I was watching the Chicago broadcast last night, the Cubs broadcast of this, and they were talking a lot about Rich Hill because he made his major league debut, obviously, mm-hmm. in 2005 with the Chicago Cubs. And so watching this guy on the mound yesterday reminds you of what, like, pitching can be. You know, you can mix your pitches. You don't have to overpower people and things like that. I just thought it was fun watching him pitch yesterday. That's what I got out of it. Kind of joy watching this 45-year-old go out there, get mad at himself, obviously missed the zone a few times and whatnot.
Yeah.
But still, I'm like, I'm impressed, man. 45 years old, Eddie Harris in real life out there pitching on the mound.
He was legit good. I mean,
yeah.
he was great. Had good movement. I liked it. Felt like he was in control. Just the offense couldn't back him up. Over the college ranks in football, all these conference meetings, conference powwows, or shindigs are being held. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips says the athletes he's met appreciate being in college, going to class, and earning a degree. Quote, I haven't had one student athlete come up to me and say they want to be an employee.
Obtuse. I mean, that's really out of touch is more than one word in that.
You're an idiot.
You don't know what you're talking about. That's the commissioner of the league realizing that his stranglehold on fleecing players and athletes for the last 50 years has officially come to an end. And he went out there yesterday and made some dumb statements. Like, this is the time of year for the dumbness to start coming out. These college media days, owners in the NFL like Jerry Jones and Mike Brown having conversations. Like, we're in the idiot season right now for some of these guys. Don't sit there and say players are coming up to you and saying they just want to get their degrees and be college students. They don't want to be employees. They'd like to be both. They'd like to get paid for generating money for your university.
Yeah, the hell, dude.
And in turn, take a degree. You know, you got to couple both of them in there. I guarantee you, if you talk to any college athlete right now, they want their cash. And I don't know if you saw what happened with Maryland's coach yesterday, Mike Locksley. Give this guy all the credit in the world. He goes, I failed, man. I couldn't figure out the locker room. I couldn't figure out who to pay. Do we pay the new guys? Do we pay the old guys? How do we keep peace in the locker room? And it happened like a lot of people told us was going to happen. Resentment started to build in.
Yeah.
And then he lost the locker room because of the NIL type of stuff, he said. And so that's a message that college, I don't feel sorry for colleges. I hope everything that happens to them happens to them. Like, they've made their bed with all of this.
Of course.
I'm rooting for these universities to fail big time because they've had all this time to figure it out and they chose not to. They chose to be arrogant throughout this entire process. I hope it all does crumble around them and the student athlete gets everything because they're the ones who are the product.
Yeah, they're the revenue generators. Yeah, Jim, get used to it. One word on Big Ten commissioner. He wants a play-in game for the college football playoff.
More games that matter. Sign me up. Awesome. I like it. I'm good with that. That's the one thing that sports has proven over these since the pandemic. Give me games that matter. Major League Baseball is even talking about doing an in-season tournament now, similar to what the NBA does with the new collective bargaining agreement coming on. And then if you win that tournament, and I was having a conversation with somebody over the weekend, I said, if you win that tournament, then you get an automatic playoff berth. And if that's the case, an in-season tournament with baseball to give you an automatic playoff berth is going to generate more games that matter, more excitement. Anytime these leagues, whether it's college or the pros, can put together games that mean something for the fans, that's a good thing, man. We have shown, as fans, if the game matters, we'll be there. Doesn't matter what sport, hockey. Played USA versus Canada. Nobody's a hockey fan, right? Everybody watched that game because it was a game that mattered. So the more of these that you can create and the more of these that you can give us, the better it is.
I'd say consistency. I'd love to know what I'm getting from college football, from just systematically year to year. It just feels like it changes. And I'll also say less sometimes is more. we've seen, you know, March Madness, they're going to add more games. I don't know how much those games are going to get watched. You know, I think it depends on the schools. As we saw last year in the play-in, Duke had a play-in, or was it Duke? North Carolina was in one of the play-in games. I think Baylor. There were some big schools, so people watched them. But
this is also football. We watch football. 72 of the top 100 shows last year were the NFL.
It's true.
I mean, and how many of those 72 games actually mattered, right? They're all regular season games.
Yeah, I don't know. A Texas Tech Boise State playing game. I just don't know if that's going to get
by. Oh, come on. You know, on a Friday night, if that game's taking place, you're sitting down and you're watching that and you're geeking out.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
It's a game that matters. This team wins, they go on to the next round. You know, I'd be there.
That's fair. The Chargers facing a lawsuit right now. Some fans are pretty pissed off, and I honestly don't know if they are in the wrong here. A 14-page document arises from a very simple set of allegations. One, the Chargers marketed season tickets based on a 9-game regular season slate of opponents, including the Chiefs. Two, the Chargers sent the Chiefs game to Brazil. And three, the Chargers did not provide a refund to those season ticket holders. One word on this lawsuit.
Hysterical. I mean, this is chargering at its finest right here, right? All these people bought season tickets for the Chargers. They pushed the Chiefs as the team. And now they took the Chiefs game away from them. That's why I was surprised they moved that game, quite honestly, to Brazil. That's a money generator. But all games now in L.A. are money generators because all the opposing fans come into their stadium.
The tourist thing.
Yeah. So what it did for me was it said the Chargers are tired of playing two road games in Kansas City every year. So they kind of took the road game in Kansas City and moved it to Brazil. That's really their home game. You know, and I still think Chiefs fans are probably going to dominate unless we're all broke now because we spent so much money traveling the last 5 years on games and whatnot. I can't imagine it being a partisan Charger crowd in Brazil. But I love the fact that the fans are suing. That's a premier game. You took the best game of the year and you farmed it out. And now they didn't reduce the cost of season tickets either. That was the other thing. They're still charging them for 9 games.
Yep, still charged them for 9 games and took away the one game that they advertised would be the selling point. Yeah, that is charging at its finest. It's been another debacle over there in Dallas as Jerry Jones yesterday came out basically criticizing paying Dak Prescott as much as he did because he missed games and then was wrong about how many games he said Micah Parsons missed last year and overall in his career has only missed, I think, what, 6 games?
Four games. He's missed 4 in 4 years.
4 in 4 years.
That's right.
Jerry Jones saying he missed 6.
Last year.
Last season.
Yeah.
And then Micah Parsons yesterday at training camp, this is what he had to say.
Micah, how would you characterize how close you are to getting something done?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll just see how long things take, you know? That's it.
Are you discouraged by the fact that it's taken this long?
Honestly, yeah. When you go around the league and you see these other teams taking care of their best guys, I see TJ got taken care of, Max got taken care of, Miles got taken care of, and he got 2 years left on his deal. So it's hard to, you see a lot of people around the league taken care of. You just, you know, wish you had something like, you know, that same type of energy, you know.
It's hard to not take it personally.
I wouldn't say it's hard not to take it personally when you know how chain of events of something consistently happening over the course of years when you kind of see it before through other players and things. So you don't take that you don't take it personally when you're like, all right, this, it's not like I'm getting treated differently than anyone else, you know. So I don't take it personally. I just don't understand.
Excellent is the word I will use for that because Micah Parsons has had enough.
Yeah.
You know, he's seen this go on. Other dudes are getting paid and he's not. And look, I was listening to him and we can all say, look, these guys are athletes. They make so much money. Everybody's a human being. Everybody wants to feel loved at the end of the day, right? Everybody wants to feel safe and secure in their job, no matter what it is, no matter how much money you make. You want to know that you are loved. And right now, Micah Parsons is looking around and Jerry Jones is not going to pay him. And he says he's been injured a lot. And then he said something about what if he got hit by a car? Like I've never heard owners like we saw yesterday or the day before in Mike Brown and Jerry Jones talk about not wanting to give guys guaranteed contracts because they could end up in jail or they could get hit by a car.
Yep.
Yet life happens, man. Like things do happen over the course of time. And I promise you, if somebody gets hit by a car and they die, you're not going to pay them that contract.
Crazy,
if somebody
man.
Goes to jail, they're no longer working, they're in jail, you're not paying them that contract. And these owners, Jerry Jones, Mike Brown, with these comments yesterday, the more out of touch they sound, the better it is for everybody else in the rest of the league, because guys aren't going to want to go to Dallas. They're not going to want to go to Cincinnati. They're going to be saying, enough of this. And you've already got your best defensive player. Now your quarterback ticked off at you. What is that season going to be like down in Dallas? It has already started, and I love it. First day of training camp, and we already have drama in the NFL. Like, literally came out of the gates firing.
Oh, yeah.
With drama. It's so good. It reminds me of the NBA offseason, right? Immediately there's drama. And that's what we live for, right? We're not talking about games, but the NFL is driving the conversation right now because you have two out-of-touch owners that don't understand what they're doing to their teams, and they're watching it fall apart right in front of their face.
I love how you can hear Trayvon Diggs in the audio there, but he's in the video and just standing next to Micah Parsons when Micah starts talking about people who've gotten paid. You hear Trayvon Diggs, Miles, you know, Max. Like, he's helping out his dude. I love that about Trayvon Diggs as well, just standing there right there with him thinking, this is BS, man. My guy's got to get paid. I love teammates standing up for teammates. One word on Ozzy Osbourne.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
You know, Ozzy passing away yesterday, and one of those artists that we started the show with talking about, you know, you may not have known that you knew Ozzy Osbourne, but you know Ozzy Osbourne. Yep. Transcends every single generation.
I was
going to
say transcendent.
Yeah.
Yep, that was it.
Every generation in this country, no matter if you're in your 80s or if you're 8, you know who Ozzy Osbourne is. Because when you hear the song, you're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly who that is.
I know that.
I mean, the cheerleaders come out to Crazy Train, right? That at Arrowhead. Like, that's their big song. They come out to that. So everybody who's ever been to a sporting event or an arena or anything like that, they know who Ozzy Osbourne is. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, there was an interesting article yesterday written by Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? And we'll tell you what he says. I'll be back next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, I want everybody to be sitting down for this, because this is going to be one of those topics where you listen to it and you go, I can't believe what I just heard, right? Didn't you have that same kind of situation yesterday when I read this to you, right?
It's pretty jaw-dropping.
It really is, and it has to do with the amount of time we waste as human beings on stuff, right? And for whatever reason, Arnold, the former governor of the Terminator, has this newsletter that he has out called, like, Pump It Up with Arnold or something like that. It's just kind of healthy habits and exercises and things like that. And so I'm interested in that kind of stuff. I like to read and see what I could be doing better for my body, and, you know, as I get to be 50 years old. And one of the tips that he had about, you know, kind of staying active and moving is stop wasting time, and don't waste time on this resource. And what it is, it's screen time. Now, listen to this. This is why I want you to sit down, because this is one of these unbelievable things. You'll be like, oh my God. The average person spends over 2 hours every day on social media. They spend over 1 hour every day on streaming services. And we're talking about the screen time on your phones, not computers or anything like that. We're talking about your phone, your screen time on your phone. Over a week, that's 21 hours between social media and streaming. In a month, it's 90 hours. In a year, that's 1,095 hours. Do you know how many days that is? 45. At the end of the year, the average person has given 45 days to social media and streaming, and we're not even talking the extreme cases like my wife. The average person spends 730 hours a year on social media. That's 30 days, not 38-hour work days. That's 30 whole 24 hours a day, a month totally gone to the time that is spent on social media. Let's say you live to 80. That means 6.5 years of your life has gone to social media.
That is unhealthy. Wow.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah, we've got to get that number down.
Right. And obviously, younger people should pay more attention.
Yes,
Gen Z, you spend an average of 4 hours a day on social media, so you're giving up over a decade of your life.
Damn.
Millennials, you're at 3 hours, so you're giving up more than 8 years of your life on social media.
That is frightening.
Isn't that crazy when you see the numbers pop like that,
it
right?
Is.
Like that's like saying, you know, I don't know, so-and-so hit 400 in baseball. You're like, whoa, 5,000 yards passing. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. I'm wasting my life on social media. And then I stumbled upon this article out of the New York Post, and it's called Flip Phone Summer. Gen Z vows to resurrect low-tech before their brains turn to mush. And Gen Z, I believe that would be maybe your generation, maybe
I'm
not.
Like a tweener.
You're like an alpha or something like that.
I'm right on the line. Yeah. I call myself a zillennial.
A zillennial? Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, because I'm a tweener too. I'm not like Generation X or, you know, I'm like right in the, there's like a 3-year window. I forget what they call my generation from like 77 to 80 is, you know, where I'm in the wheelhouse of. And there's some kind of weird, you know, 3-year stint as well. So we're both kind of tweeners in that. But they say Gen Z is flipping the script and they're hanging up the addictive smartphones and they're going back to the 2000s era flip phones. They're calling it the flip phone summer. And they're, you know, obviously posting this kind of stuff on social media, I'm sure. But they're trying to get
with their smartphones.
Yeah, with their smartphones.
Which is funny.
But they're trying to find ways to, you know, disconnect from the World Wide Web and not constantly be at it. And foregoing their iPhone photo shoots, Gen Zers are virally all in favor of snapping pics on vintage digital and disposable cameras, insisting that a camera from 2007 gives off a certain vibe that something like an iPhone can't produce. The whippersnappers are too, preferring cassette tapes and vinyl records over music streaming platforms and Walkman headphones over the ultra-modern Bluetooth technology earbuds. And the vinyl thing is great because over this weekend I was listening to Guns N' Roses on vinyl. I mean, my God, what a difference it makes.
Way better.
Just the beginning of the song sounded so much better than it does, you know, via your iPhone, digitally recorded, all condensed type of music. And so as we're starting to see, you know, some of this stuff start to come back a little bit, the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line open for you. What else should we try to bring back? What else would be better to have? Because I remember it was a few months ago and we were talking about getting rid of something. And you said, if you could get rid of one thing in life, what would it be? And I said, the smartphone. And you looked at me like I was nuts. I said, but that is the root of and cause of a lot of the evils in this country, from mental health situations to fighting with your friends to seeing things on Snapchat that, you know, tick you off and maybe you're interpreting things wrong. Like the smartphone really has been one of, you know, the downfalls of society because we just don't communicate anymore like we should. The face-to-face conversations that we need to have just don't take place as much anymore because everybody's behind a screen, behind a phone. And a lot of times you'll say things to your smartphone or you'll type things to your smartphone that you would never say to somebody's face. And you'll never have that conversation with them face-to-face. And so that's why I think the smartphone has been one of the worst things that we could have ever invented. Yeah, it helps with a lot of stuff. Boarding passes at the airport, making reservations. Like, there's a lot of good.
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot of good from that, right? There's absolutely a lot of good that can come to it. But there's also a lot of that bad. And the bad a lot of times outweighs the good
100%.
That these smartphones can do. So after seeing all of those numbers, are you going to put the phone down even more? Because you looked at your screen time yesterday. You're averaging 6.5 hours a day.
Well, yeah, which is ridiculous because after the show, I had 3 hours of screen time, and I'm like, okay, I guess that's just me being on Google Docs. So some of that stuff, you got to kind of read in between the lines. There's no doubt. So I don't know how accurate that is. But yeah, man, I've always, yes, I know I use my phone too much. Absolutely. And I don't like it. And there was something interesting in that New York Post article that resonated with me. One of those Gen Z people was like, I feel like I'm not living my life. I'm watching other people live theirs.
It's true. Yeah.
And that's so true. You just sit there in your room and you're watching all these other people do stuff and you just kind of start to feel like less of a person, helpless, like you don't have a meaning, like who are you? And it's like, dude, go out there and do something. The YOLO, you only live once thing, I don't like because I think you only die once. You live every day, so you've got to choose to live, man. And so if you're on your phone for 6 hours of that day, man, you didn't live. You know,
no, that's what it is. You really didn't. Because if you're on your phone for 6 hours and then you slept for, let's say, eight
right there, dude.
What did you do with the rest of the, really? And then by the time you shower and take a dump, you're down to 5 hours. You know, I mean, really, like, what have you done with your day? Like, where is the time gone? And I think it's all something that we can, you know, kind of put into perspective a little bit and say, stop wasting this time. And who cares what somebody posted on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Twitch or, you know, Snapchat or anything like that? Like, a lot of that stuff, too, is more of those, look at me, I'm better than you, or at least I'm trying to feel like I'm better than you. So I'm going to put up all these pictures of me doing things that you're not doing.
I'm more in shape. I'm wealthier. I'm all these things. And you're like, yeah, are they? You'd probably
not.
happy?
No, yeah, probably not, but it's making you not happy either. It's in that negative. This is a good text from the 936. Paper routes, the nostalgia of getting it every morning, plus it requires us to slow down to read in the mornings compared to only absorbing the flashy propaganda online.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I didn't ever actually, like, I wasn't old enough to, but I remember Dad getting the paper, my brother's reading the paper, I remember playing the reading the comics in the paper, so that was a part of the morning and sitting around the breakfast table that is not a thing anymore. Now we're sitting around the breakfast table on our phones.
Yeah, or the dinner table. I mean, how many people actually sit down? And I know there will be some people that say, hey, we do this every night and more power to you. I wish we could, where everybody just put their phone away or everybody was on the same schedule, because as kids get older and life moves on, you're eating dinner at all sorts of different times because everybody's doing different things. And it's, you know, you're lucky to have 5 minutes with somebody, you know, during the school year, especially. So I just thought reading that from Arnold, I was like, my God, I mean,
crazy.
Yeah, it is wild. And then so open your phone, look at your screen time and see how much time you're spending on different apps, because it will break it down for you. It'll say messaging, social media, all that kind of stuff. And if the social media is low, for me, it is, because I just have X, you know, so I don't have anything else. But, you know, you see your messaging, how many times you're talking to people or how many.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hours you're on the Google Doc or whatever the case may be. But I mean, it's just, it's crazy to think of how much time we waste just looking at that damn screen when we could be doing other things and better things, quite honestly. Coming up, Mac's burning Chiefs question is next.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.